call the September 18th, 2019 meeting to order, and we will begin with the pledge of the allegiance followed by a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, and indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move to adopt the agenda.
A second.
Great. Motion has been made to adopt the agenda and seconded by Mrs. Eager. Chair votes aye. Motion passes.
Aye.
Oh, yeah, well, I assume. Yeah. Sorry. Now we'll hear the county administrator's report.
All right, board. I just have a few things to report this evening. One, just want to kind of give a little update. We have some new staff members that started for the county. The treasurer's office has two new staff members. We've got Corey Limbacher. She started on Wednesday, September 4th as a deputy treasurer one. Octavia Wells, a deputy treasurer three. She started on Monday, September 9th. And then we got a new assistant public works director for utilities, Brian Estes. He started this past week, Monday, September 16th. So we got some new staff joining the Fluvanna family here. A little quick spotlight on business. The business spotlight this month is the State Farm up at Turkey Sag there. Gary Albert is the business contact. They provide personal and business insurance for all Central Virginia, home, auto, life, health, and other things. They got a local team, and they have a lot of the team that grew up here and kind of live in the area right now. They like I said, they're up at the Food Line Shopping Center, and they've it says Gary Elworth State Farm is ranked among the top 50 State Farm offices in the U.S. and was recently voted the number one insurance agency by the Daily Progress, as well received by the favorite insurance agency by Bloom Magazine for the past 10 years. They've done a lot of good work with Meals for Wheels, Fluvanna Meals on Wheels, and some teen driver safety week at Fluvanna County High School. So we just want to showcase a great business in our community. And just a few reminders, just remember October 1st at 10 a.m. at the Fluvanna County Library, we're going to have the 2019 local elected officials breakfast. As reminded you last week, you know, board members, school board members, constitutional officers, we've got Senator Peak, Delegate Ware, Delegate Bell, representatives for both Riggleman and Senator Warner, and there may even be a representative from Governor Northam's office there too. And then one last update, the fourth annual Quad County Business Summit is October 2nd, the next day, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Madison at the Mill, and that is in
Town
of Orange. So this is kind of an annual event. It just kind of brings businesses together from Fluvanna, Green, Louisa, and Orange for a half day of networking and educational programs. Any board members that want to attend, they can. They don't have to stay for the whole time. But again, it does go from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And some upcoming meetings. October 7th, we have a 4 p.m. regular meeting. October 16th, we have a 7 p.m. regular meeting. In November 6th, we have a 4 p.m. regular meeting, and that's all I have from the board today. Any questions I can answer?
No. That sounds great. Okay, we'll now open our first round of public comments. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Anyone wishing to address the board at this time?
Tony. Would you explain that if they want to speak about the action items, that now's the time to do that?
Yes, if you want to speak about the action items, you can do that. If you want to speak about the public hearing, please reserve your comments till the comments during the public hearing itself. Okay, seeing no one wishing to speak, we will close the first round of public comments.
Tony,
Oh, sorry. Please, sir.
I'm hoping this is my opportunity. I was at a subdivision, Harlow subdivision today, and my neighbors, I was coming out, and they said, go in there, they got the meeting tonight, and ask them to build us a road.
Sir, before you start, may I have you state your name?
I'm sorry. Andrew Mills. I'm Fluvanna resident, live at the lake, and have property on Harlow. Dickie Purcell, some back in the 80s, divided up some property there, and bought 20 acres there. And so what we've got is no road agreement. And I'm with a research council group out of Charlottesville, Virginia Transportation Research, and I kind of feel a little bit, you know, the process of how to do this is what I'm asking. And I know it's not like anything that's, you know, done in, it might even 3 years, whatever. But I'm here to ask the proper process that I need to go through to get the ball rolling to possibly, and it's a joint service there. There's a lady on the road. In the wintertime, this is pretty, you know, critical kind of a thing for her. And I live at Lake Monticello, and I've just got 20 acres there, and I built a cabin there, fishing lake and all that. But they asked me to be their spokesman, so, and I'm talking about an hour's notice, and I've got people number of stuff here. But I'm trying to go about the right way to do this, and so if there's anything that I can do to get the ball rolling, it's probably a quarter of a mile, and the property's on 620 Potts' Field. It's right across my New York lawyer used to know, and the point being is, the road is probably 8 to 10 feet wide, and you can put 50 loads of gravel on this road, and it'll suck it up like a sponge. And there's no base to it whatsoever, and so you know it needs to have a particular kind of, you know, we need to do something to get in and out of the wintertime. I get four-wheel drive. I'm kind of speaking for my neighbors as much as anything, and. All the interstates that I've seen over the 52 years I've been with the Transportation Research Council, I like rural roads, but it is a little bit difficult. I go down maybe once a week, and they go in there every day. So I'm just kind of stating the problem with them getting it in and out, and I just need to know what I need to do to get the ball rolling to get you know, get a road.
Is that the minor subdivision with about seven houses in it?
It's five houses in there now. Five houses, and this is on 620. It's directly across from a gentleman who's a New York lawyer. I rented, leased a property. I leased 8,500 acres in Fluvanna County to Deer Hunter. And the thing of it is, this property is right across from Potts' Field. It's in between Woodridge and Antioch. Briar Creek Road is the closest thing there.
I know exactly where it is.
Well, yes. This road's pretty rough shape.
Yeah, I haven't been down the road, but I know where it is. And it's on our agenda to discuss at a later time. Do you have anything to say on that?
No, I can say that. I spoke to Mr. Shiflett this right before the meeting, not long before the meeting, and because Mr. Weaver received a call from Ms. Shiflett. Was it today or yesterday?
Yes, today.
So we haven't had a chance to look into it because I wasn't sure what road it is, but now that we know it's Blue Mountain Road, we're going to look into it to see what the status of it is. Well, I can't give you any information right at this point, but we can certainly look into it to see where that road stands in the VDOT system.
Absolutely, that's great. They asked me to come in. Nobody could show up to that night, so I knew the meeting was tonight, and I appreciate y'all's.
We're already on it.
Mr. Dollar, right. Should you follow up with
What's that?
Should you follow up with
You know what? If.
VDOT's going to do the next.
Mr. Mills, if you would follow up with the gentleman in the back, Mr. Miles, he'll get your information. I've got Mr. and Mrs. Shiflett's information as well, and we can follow up with both of you.
Okay, makes me feel. I appreciate it. Nice seeing you, fellas. I tell you,
sure.
Especially you. I got to salute you.
Are there any other people that wish to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, will now close the first round of public comments. We will now move on to action matters. The next item on the tab is action matters. The next item on the tab is public hearings. Mr. Robinson, DMP 1901.
All right. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This is a rezoning application, number ZMP 1901, that has been submitted by Norman Smajlovic. So this rezoning request involves property that is identified as tax map 592. It's up at Zions Crossroads, as you'll see in some of the following screens. The parcel is 0.957 acres, according to a recent survey. The applicant is requesting to rezone this parcel from its current A1 agricultural general to B1 business general. The property is in the Columbia Election District and the Zion Crossroads Community Planning Area. And as you'll see on some of the following screens, he's proposing a contractor storage yard / office building. So this is the map showing the location of the project within Fluvanna County overall. It's at the northern end of the county near Zions Crossroads. And this is a map showing the current zoning of the property. This is the parcel right here, currently zoned A1, located along Route 15. And you can see sort of on the west side, just on the other side of 15 there, it is in close proximity to Starlight Business Park. So if you're traveling north, before you reach the intersection of 250 and 15, the parcel is on the right-hand side before you reach Starlight Business Park. And this is an aerial image showing the parcel. Currently has a building on it, which is a residential home that is currently occupied by a tenant. And you can see there's some vegetation around the property and then on adjoining properties. And again, over here on this side of 15, you can see some existing business or light industrial development across 15 in Starlight Business Park. And this photograph shows the entrance to the property. And if you were to keep north here, you'll run into the intersection of 250 and 15. This is the entrance to the business park that I was talking about earlier. And then this is the existing home that's on the property, and it's still currently occupied at this time. As you'll see in one of the following screens, this home would eventually be removed and replaced with a proposed business. And just before I go further, this is another view of what's along Route 15. You can see the property's location in proximity to the construction that's currently going on for the pump station up near Zions Crossroads. So that's also in the vicinity. So this is the applicant's concept plan. This shows the proposed building that I was speaking of. So this is the concept plan showing the home removed and replaced with an office building / contractor storage yard. Most specifically, what I mean by a contractor storage yard, the applicant currently operates an HVAC business. He's been running it as a home occupation and going out to his clients. This project would allow him to establish his own building and have an office and storage area within that facility. And then you can see the parking here, entrance to the property here, and the proposed building. So to conclude, this property is in the Zion Crossroads Community Planning Area. If this request is successful and the rezoning is approved, then he'll need to file a site development plan for further review prior to constructing anything on the property. The Planning Commission heard this request at their meeting last week on September the 10th. They did recommend approval of this rezoning request by a vote of 4-0. So to conclude, the Board of Supervisors should consider how this request does or does not align with the comprehensive plan. That concludes my presentation, and the applicant is present this evening. If you have further questions, I can try to answer any questions you might have at this time.
Are there any questions from the board for either the applicant or Mr. Wells?
No.
I don't have any.
Okay.
Hearing none, we'll open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Anyone wishing to speak, please come to the podium. With no one wishing to speak, we will now close the public hearing. Any questions or comments from the board?
I see that Mr. Corbin is here, and you're an adjacent property owner?
Correct.
Okay. Are you fine with this?
Yes.
come to, yeah, I thought you might be here to support them. Well, I've heard this is the third time, and I think it does match our what we'd like to see up at Zion's Crossroads, and I think your plan will be an improvement over what's there right now, and I just welcome you to the county.
Yeah, we want to see you grow, and you have like 50 or 60 employees in the next one. Yeah. That would be great.
We're almost there.
Excellent. It's a good business to be in.
Okay.
Motion.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve CMP 1901, a request to amend the Fluvanna County zoning map with respect to approximately 0.957 acres of Tax Map 5, Section 9, Parcel 2, to rezone the same from A1 Agricultural General to B1 Business General.
Second.
Motion made by Mrs. Eager, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 3-2. 3-2 absent. Now we'll move on to action matters. Item B, FY20 Sheriff's Office Expense Storage Budget Transfer. This is to a
good evening. I'm here today to talk to you about an evidence storage building budget transfer for the Sheriff's Office. Back in November of 2018, the Sheriff's Office asked for a carryover of around $30,000 to complete their evidence storage project, but at that time they really didn't have the quotes are exactly the amount of funding and what they really needed to do. So at the time the board did not approve the carryover and recommended that they come back once they knew what they actually needed. So that's what we're doing today. The previous funding for this is on the screen. There was a capital reserve maintenance fund request for $85.50 to purchase the actual container that the evidence storage is in, plus put in shelving and some ventilation. And then there was another capital reserve maintenance fund, also in FY18, of $18,880 to purchase a security fence around the actual evidence storage. The request today is for $28,500. And this will complete their evidence storage situation out there. You can see the list of things that are required. The ventilation, they put in a mini split, and that didn't really help. It cools it, but it doesn't ventilate it. So that's why we also have ventilation on here as well. And I believe this also may be ventilation for the evidence room in the Sheriff's Office building. Captain Hill, I don't think, is here. Sure. But the sheriff can speak on this if you have, you know, any questions about any of these specific items or actually the whole evidence storage container itself.
Yeah, last November when we were going through the carryover process, Sheriff Hess submitted a request for funding to do some of this, but at the time there wasn't any, as Ms. Twisdale said, there wasn't a lot of detail at that time about really what it was going to cost. So county kind of moved forward with one, it's basically a giant Connex box, a giant shipping container, and it's been kind of transformed into an evidence storage locker. There's a big fence around it, and now there's lots of little odds and ends that need to be added to it to finish it. So, Ms. Swizzle, we put back the list previous, yeah. There you go. And those are the things that are still outstanding. So, we spent about $30,000 so far.
$27,000
so far, so then they're looking for another $28,000 to complete the project.
This is basically, we've outgrown the evidence room that we have. It's a very small, barely would make a good office, and there are some things that we're not allowed to dispose of for many, many years. You have to hold on to them. Some things have to be refrigerated, and in the process, when you collect evidence at a crime scene, you have to come back. Hence the drying cabinets and filters and stuff, so you can get it prepared properly in order to be able to transport it to the crime lab to be processed.
Do you have that now?
No, ma'am.
So, you've been working on this for several years, haven't you?
It's been a long endeavor, yes. And finally, with one of our investigators going to the school, that we actually have a person, first time ever in Fluvanna, the forensic technician, so we actually got a person that can do it.
So what have you been doing in the past?
In the past, we've been doing the best we can, and we rely on others, and have the state come help us, things like that.
Mm-hmm. If I recall, Mr. Washington,
predecessor brought this up previously.
Yes, it's an expensive endeavor, and we've only had, a part-time person that was able to help us with this and is currently a part-time deputy. And with our investigator Morrison going to the Forensics Academy now, he's certified and capable of doing all these things for us. We don't have to sit around and wait on anybody.
It's going to have a fair number of cameras, I gather, based on the price there.
Because of the, we have to, by the time the evidence comes in this courtroom, we have to be able to establish the chain of custody from the time it was gathered, who gathered it, who took it to the crime lab, who picked it up from the crime lab, where did it go back to. Everything's in a barcode. Every time it's moved, it's documented, and that way when we come in here for a trial, we're, you know, if they subpoena that, anybody that steps foot in that room has to come to court. So that's why we try to keep it to one person, so you don't have several deputies that have to come to court and say, well, yes, I had access to that room, so that they can sit here and say, no, I didn't mess with the evidence.
Is the paint special by any chance?
Pardon?
The paint special itself?
It's the paint, a lot of the paint stuff is in cans from fires, and certain evidence needs to be kept dry. You can't put it in plastic, things like that. I don't know as much about that part.
No, I was just saying the price for the painting seemed high for the space, but so I was wondering if there's a special type of paint or something.
No, I think when the painting, a lot of that was the roof or something. I can't remember the doors. I mean, it's a fraction of a guess at what it would cost if we'd added onto the building.
Oh, sure.
And a lot of agencies use those containers even to store vehicles in. Yes, it is.
So the painting would probably, it has to also include the labor?
I imagine, yes, yeah. Ma'am. And it, I mean, right now it's just an ugly orange box.
How big is the sheriff's house?
It's a, like,
it's less, feet long?
Less than 53 feet, because it's smaller than the trailer that it sits on. I can say that much. I don't know the exact footage.
And it's, what, 10 feet
But it
wide?
Should meet our needs way into the future, mm-hmm. Unless... there are laws passed that I hope that don't happen as far as the red flag laws.
But will someone then be there full-time for this?
No, sir. We'll have a full-time person, and that'll be a secondary office.
Okay,
for
that's what I was wondering.
To go. There's one section of it that's an office that you can go into and not have access to the evidence. So when you go in there, you can leave evidence for the technician the next day, come in and take care of without ever having access to the rest of the stored evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that chain of custody, like you're in our office, you have the lockers. So the deputy comes in, has their evidence, they fill it out, they put it in the computer system, then they go put it in the locker, lock it, drop the key into the locker so nobody has access to that locker except from the inside. It'd be the same principle, a little bit different. The cameras are important. So when the dispatchers are sitting in the office, they can monitor everything that goes on, and if they miss something, it's all recorded. We can go back and check on that. So we're finally in technology is our friend.
Yes, but sir. The man who's going to take this course and be responsible?
Already taken it, yes, ma'am.
He's already taken it?
He's certified now, yes, ma'am. We're just almost, I'm proofreading his new job description.
Okay.
To pass on to HR.
He doesn't have to be there.
Not all the time.
Okay, just when he's needed.
It will not be a full-time job. It's part of his duties as an investigator. He will handle other cases. Mm-hmm. He will be available should there be a crime committed that the deputy doesn't feel that they have the skills to take a certain print off of something or to whatever it might be, or to gather some debris of some sort. If they don't feel comfortable, they can call him and he can do it and make sure it's done right.
Now, let me understand, he's a full-time employee, but he does this as part of his...
It'll be an additional job description. Somewhat like that is what we're working on. It's a specialty, but in most agencies, it's a full... Alamo County has people, that's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a full-time job.
That's what I was wondering about, whether it's full-time or whether he's going to do it in spare time.
As far, at some point, that person will probably take over the maintenance of the evidence. And when he does that, then he can't be an investigator anymore. because he's actually going to, you know, you can't work the cases, gather the evidence, and then store it. Yeah, those people have to be separate. It's a good practice. So what we have now is a person gathered that takes the evidence in, takes it to the lab, and does all, has nothing to do with any crime. So in the future, that person may become a full-time person, but they will take on that additional duty of the part-time person. But right now, it'll be an additional duty assigned to their job as an investigator.
That role will become
yes.
a full-time role.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Great. Any other questions?
No.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff Hess. Any further
questions
on the board?
No.
Do
you have
any? No.
Motion? You're going to make it?
I move. You make it.
Okay. I move the Board of Supervisors approve a budget transfer for $28,500 from the fiscal year 20 Board of Supervisors contingency budget to the fiscal year 20 Sheriff's Office building budget for the completion of the Connex evidence storage building.
Second.
Motion has been made by Mr. Eager and Mr. Weaver and seconded by Mrs. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. The motion passes 3-2 absent.
So the next item up is the EDA conduit bond inducement resolution for SOCA, Soccer Organization of Charlottesville. So if you remember at the last board meeting, I kind of brought up what this transaction was and just kind of explained to the board that it's the county not funding it. It's rather just kind of a pass-through. So let me go through a brief presentation. We also have the bond counsel, Richard Hurlbert, who is acting bond counsel on this issuance, and he's been the bond counsel for Fluvanna County before, and also there's our representative from SOCA here as well. So I'll go through a quick, brief presentation, and then I'll have them come up and answer any questions. So one, again, Fluvanna County is not funding the SOCA project. Our Fluvanna County EDA is acting as a conduit for the bond transaction. The county has bank-qualified bond issuing capacity that it does not intend to use in 2019, and that it and the Fluvanna EDA would be willing to work with SOCA to issue the tax-exempt BQ bonds to assist the borrower in financing a field house and other amenities. SOCA will pay a one-time fee and an annual fee to the Fluvanna EDA for serving as issuer. And like I said before, transactions like this, the county and namely the Fluvanna EDA has done transactions like this, Veritas School and Region 10 before. So the EDA had a public hearing, and under applicable law, it provides that the EDA must hold a public hearing and adopt an inducement resolution as the first step in the process. The EDA held a public hearing on September 12, 2019 at 5 p.m., during the public hearing, one person appeared and expressed their view that the authority not participate as the issuer of the Series 2019 bonds. No other members of the public appeared and spoke at the public hearing in support of or opposition of the project. And the chairman closed the public hearing at 5:08 p.m. The EDA board ended up approving the inducement resolution 7-0. Why it's now coming to you. So under Virginia code, it provides that the governing body, basically the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors, on behalf of the EDA, must approve the financing of the facility in order for the financing to move forward, basically. So this is kind of the final step in the process. In addition, there's a couple documents that were provided to the EDA after it was provided, and it just kind of provides a project summary here, and you've seen some of this before. It just kind of tells you, you know, what happened at the EDA. It describes the complex, which you've seen in your inducement resolution. And then down at the bottom here, it says during the public hearing, Mr. Sam Patterson appeared and expressed his views not to participate. So that kind of summarizes what I had in the previous slide. The EDA resolution, it's basically fairly similar to the inducement resolution you're going to be approving, and it's for not to exceed bonds in $3.75 million. And if you just kind of go down to the bottom here, you can see the vote of the EDA, and then it was executed. And then one final document was just a fiscal impact statement that was provided to the EDA. And as again, it says the name of the applicant is SOCA. It describes the facility here, a 50,000 square foot facility, and then it also lists some accessory, other accessory uses, supporting spaces, fitness center, training room, locker rooms, etc. And then it goes into down below here, talks a little bit about the fiscal impact, about the financing sought, what the estimated taxable value is going to be in the locality. And remember, that locality is not Savannah County, that's Albemarle County, because that's where the facility will be constructed. And then to just give some other information about estimated real property tax based on Albemarle County's rates, and then just some estimated dollars of goods purchased from Virginia and non-Virginia companies. And then down at the bottom, it kind of goes into a little bit of describing the estimated number of FTEs, full-time and part-time employees.
That's a pretty large facility, isn't it?
Yeah, and like I said, we can have some of the representatives from SOCA and the bond council come up and answer any questions, any specific questions that the board has. But so really after that, it's really a matter of the board to either approve the resolution or deny the resolution. But I think if you would entertain Mr. Hurlburt to come up, who is the bond council for this, and a representative from SOCA to talk about it.
Mr. Payne, I may have a conflict of interest as a soccer as a client of mine. So I don't know whether that plays a role in this or not, but I bring it to your attention.
Without getting too deep in the weeds, what's the magnitude of your...
They're a regular client of ours, and we would probably be working on the project that they're working on in order to build that facility, not necessarily that facility. Their expansion. We're working with them with their expansion.
It seems to me that it would be prudent for you not to participate.
Okay. Should I excuse myself from the room?
You no longer have to do that under the statute, but I think the record should show that you're not participating in it.
Okay, great. May I have any comments or not?
No.
Sorry.
Chair.
I've been excited this afternoon.
Just in time. We're about ready to close down.
One comment on that.
Yes,
since,
sir.
The record should show that the chairman just arrived, so there are four board members here now. Under the applicable statute, if the board doesn't have a quorum as a result of the disqualification of one member, you can still go forward with that. I don't think that is necessary to apply in this case, because since Mr. Sheridan is here, you will still have a quorum without Mr. O'Brien.
Sure. Makes sense.
All right. So, Mr. Sheridan, I just basically need to give a brief presentation about the SOCA project, and just kind of went over some of the stuff that we discussed at my co-ed report last meeting. And then we got Mr. Richard Hurlburt, who's the bond counsel for the SOCA bond issuance and has been the bond counsel for the county before, as well as
Matt Wilson, the executive director.
Yep, for SOCA. So they're up there to answer any questions and describe the project.
All right.
You have any questions for Mr. Richard Hurlburt? Or?
I do not doubt with you, Ms. Seeger.
Yes, I have some questions. I spoke with Mr. Patterson, and he had some questions. How many players from Pluvanna are on the Travel SOCA team?
On just the travel program, I would estimate 50.
You think 50? And how much does it cost to be a participant?
Well, you can get financial assistance. We give out about $120,000. Financial assistance if you qualify. We use the school lunch program for that. But if you pay full freight, it can range anywhere from $800 to $1,200. for a year, depending on the level that you're playing at.
And how many people are on the total travel team?
The travel program is about 600 players, 650.
And you said you have $120,000 that you use for scholarships?
Right, it's about 5% of our budget. It was $120,000 last year that we gave away in free soccer.
Well, I think, you know, you were there, you heard what Mr. Patterson had to say, and, you know, Fluvan is small, and we have to compete in that league as well. And would it be possible for you to give a discount to the Fluvanna children who are on that team, that travel team, that costs between $800 and $1,200?
Well, I mean, it just really comes down to the way we do it is based off of their income, and we use the school lunch program to determine the amount of the aid that we give. So I think we would continue to do that. They're certainly eligible for that. There is a program here locally as well, the Fluvanna Youth Soccer Association.
Right.
That's a good partner of ours that they could play in. You know, we're about 7,300 players total, so the travel is just a portion.
Small part.
And it's the highest level that you can play at.
Are the Fluvanna children who play for the Fluvanna League, they play against the soccer league games? They don't play together.
They have their
Fluvanna children don't play on the soccer, right?
There are some Fluvanna children who drive to Albemarle and play on the Charles Albemarle team, and then there's others that play on teams headquartered and based out of Fluvanna. And sometimes the Charlottesville teams will play against the Fluvanna teams, or Louisa, or Orange, or, you know, all the different localities have teams, and they'll play games against one another.
Mm-hmm.
We host a league called the Skyline Club League. Fluvanna is one of the founding members of it, and so is soccer. So, we compete on the field, but I would consider them to be colleagues off the field. We've always had a good relationship with them. Our administrator, you know, who lives out Lake Monticello with Sunny Harrell, she played for Fluvanna, played for soccer. And so there's always been what I would describe as a healthy relationship between Fluvanna and the Charlottesville teams.
And the Skyline, is that all of the local counties?
Yes. Okay. It basically stretches sort of west of Richmond, Louisa, and then it goes all the way down to Blacksburg and includes up to Culpeper, Lynchburg, Harrisonburg, all those types of communities.
And that's the 7,500? Or is that just
No, that's even more. The 7,500 is just ones that play in affiliate directly with soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And we run, we have an office in Waynesboro as well. We merged a few years ago with the club that was running out of Stanton, Waynesboro, and Augusta. And so that's now just one entity that has an office there and an office in Charlottesville. So that 7,300 includes some folks from over the mountain.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have adult leagues all the way up through over 40. You know, older league, and women's league, and co-rec men. So really starts about 4 years old, and then it goes through, lifetime sport for some folks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This building will be the headquarters for the organization. Our offices will be in the head house of the building. About 12 full-time staff members will be located there. And there'll also be an indoor field.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of main component of it, which will be nice. We can use it all year round, rainy days, snowy days. Wintertime, it'll get a lot of use, but summer as well, because it'll be, you know, climate protected. And then there are also some sporting spaces, as he mentioned, the fitness room, trainer's room. One of the exciting things for us is to have some meeting rooms where we can train referees. So that's something that Fluvanna will directly benefit from, because we train all the refs. You know, they come to one central place and they get trained, whether they're in Fluvanna or Charlottesville or Orange or something. So all the referee training will happen out of there, as well as the coach education piece. If you get licensed as a coach, you would come here to get your licensure for coaching. So that type of stuff, volunteer training, will be a big benefit to have a facility that's dedicated to that.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed you're going to have a cafe, too.
There'll be a cafe with some food and, you know, concessions for the kids and, you know, hopefully a few TVs in there to watch games and have a social component to it for the parents as well as the players. Yeah.
Okay. Well, those were my questions.
At the risk of too much information, Eric, I just want to expand a little bit on what you had mentioned earlier, and that is that this step here by the board is technically not the final step, because in addition to the proceedings that we've had here in Fluvanna, because this facility is located in Albemarle County, federal law requires that the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors also approve this financing. Okay, so we will be presenting a similar resolution to the Albemarle Board at their meeting next month, the first of next month, October 2nd, I think, is when they meet. So we'll have one more hurdle to clear after, you know, after today's proceedings, and then we'll be back in front of the Fluvanna EDA with Brian's assistance to have them consider a final resolution, at which time they would also sign all the final documents, and we would move forward from there to close the transaction probably sometime before the middle of next month, I think is what we're shooting for, yes. Right, Matt? So just to expand a little bit on the county administrator's presentation, that's the road that lies before us from here.
Okay.
Mr. Weaver, do you have any questions?
The revenue bonds, is that federal or state?
They're called revenue bonds because they're payable solely from the revenues generated by the borrower. And that term is not federal or state derived. It's just sort of what we call them because they are not, you know, as the county administrator mentioned, these are not general obligation bonds. The county's not behind them. The EDA is not behind them. They're payable solely from the revenues generated by SOCA through their operations, through the operation of the facility that's being financed, actually. So That's just the nomenclature that we use, but it's not derived from either the federal statute or the state statute. Right.
Okay. So do you charge for people to come and see the sports games?
To watch the games? No, for admittance to
okay.
watch. Yeah, it's mainly just parents and friends and siblings.
So you raise, the only money you raise is from the children? Or how do you get your funding?
Registration fees is the biggest part of our budget, but we also have sponsorships and donations that we bring in as a 501c3. We have a pretty healthy sponsorship program. So we'll, you know, local businesses will come to us and sponsor teams, sponsor programs, field sponsors. You know, we'll sell just about everything we have to a sponsor because that helps considerably. We receive some grants as well. When they come available, I'll write for grants, and we usually get a few. But registration fees, about 90% of the income that we bring in.
What might that amount be then?
Our budget is almost $3 million a year.
Okay, but we have a figure then, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Quick question I have to ask this. I do apologize for being late, but I also serve as a volunteer fireman. We had a house fire, so but the house is good, so they have minor damage that they can fix. Did anyone speak in public comment to this nature today?
No.
No one spoke? Okay. That was one question.
So they raised their money from the $800 to
$1,200
fee?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, ma'am. They raised the money there. And I was sitting there, I just did quick math. I said, man, $1,000 times 7,000, because you said you had 7,000 people.
No. The travel program is about, I said, 500, 600 in that range.
I was talking about just the whole thing.
The whole thing, yeah. So if you play rec soccer, which is the entry level, you know, that fee can be $60 to $90 to just play.
If you're 4 years old?
At 4 years old, yeah, that's where you start.
Well, they've got to cover uniforms and officials. Yeah.
They don't have
y'all
to pay.
Pay the officials for each game, correct?
Officials do get paid.
Mm-hmm. And you provide their suits, their uniforms, they don't have to pay extra for that?
Right. Yeah, uniforms are one of the biggest parts of the budget. Referees, as you said, field maintenance, those types of costs we pick up. We do all the field lining and those types of things to pull it off and bring it together. So, yeah, those are the biggest, some of the biggest costs of uniforms.
Well, you seem very dedicated.
I've been working 20 years there.
Yeah.
And so it's flown by.
I heard you say 12 full-time. How many full-time employees? Is that it, 12?
It's 12 in Charlottesville, and there's 2.5 over in Waynesboro. And, yeah, it's grown. A lot of those folks are do coaching, whether it's camps in the summer and different things that we offer. It's a year-round program, all four seasons. And this will really help that because it's going to open up the winter months. We have a pretty robust winter league that folks will come to play.
All right. Any other questions?
No.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Are you going to make it, Mr. Weaver?
You want to make it or mayor? We have.
No, he can't.
Oh, that's right. He's out of.
Yes, sir. I can make the motion, but I can't vote on it.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a resolution approving the issuance by the Economic Development Authority of Fluvanna County, Virginia, of its tax-exempt revenue bond in the amount not to exceed $3,750,000 for the soccer organization of the Charlottesville Area Incorporated Project.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm not opposed. So I'll vote aye.
Okay.
You didn't know where you were.
I'm not sure either.
Okay.
You were pulling the Mr. O'Brien on me, doggone it. And Gerald voted aye. Motion passes 3-0. Just remember next time when you expand, you do have land in Fluvanna.
Thank you all very much.
You're welcome.
Eric, if I could, just because we have to go to Albemarle fairly quickly, I'll just be in touch with you in the morning
and see
if we can get the resolution certified and signed.
Yep.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
You wanted me to make the motion, right?
Number 8.
I wanted you to. Yeah.
Presentation. Normally, the water tower logo and color options.
So there's nothing final about this. It's just some initial first glance blushes at what a water tower at Zion's Crossroads can look like. We pretty much have to give our contractor some final information by the end of October. That's kind of our drop dead date if we want to kind of do any type of, we're going to need to paint the tank no matter what, but depending on what we want to do for logos and anything. So let me just kind of go through here and so just as we go through, I'm just going to pull up some of these. And really, so really what we did is we just tried to pull up, one, what some of the base colors are that are used without going too crazy. And then what we did, we tried to incorporate some of just kind of some of the Fluvanna County logos that we use in other type of literature and marketing to kind of incorporate that into the tower. So I got about a dozen of them here. I'm just going to kind of go through them real quick. And some of them may be a little difficult to see. The company that we're going through, there's something called TenMec, which is basically cement spelled backwards. But this is the company that provides the paint for the tower. And they've got a program that you can use that gives you different types of towers and you can put all the information in. So I'll just kind of start off with the first one here. And hopefully they can be seen a little bit. So this one right here, and this is basically a baby blue, or it's called heavenly blue, but it's a light blue tower. And so this one right here, this is what we did is we pulled the Fluvanna County off of what we use for one of the, it's kind of the tourism marketing pieces that we have, but it just basically says Fluvanna County, and it's kind of hard to see, but off to the right it says established in 1777, and right there it says Virginia. So all I'm going to do is just kind of go through and just show you a couple different ones. But basically this is going to be the shape of the tower that's being built. It's a 500,000 gallon tank, elevated storage tank. So that's one kind of in a light blue color. Again, the same type of tower for this one, but it's in more of a tan color. So as we go through these, if you all say, I absolutely hate that, or I love that, or maybe this is the direction we should go, that would be helpful as we move forward, because we're going to kind of have to make a final decision at some point, and I'll have some additional information. So this is just kind of the same logo, but it's in kind of a tan color. And there is a gazillion variations of these colors that we can choose from. There's probably over 100 colors, but without getting too complicated, we just try to choose some basic ones. So that's kind of a tan tower. And then also there is a white tower with the same logo right there. So those are kind of the standards that you see in a lot of towers. You either see like a white color, a tan color, or like the baby blue or light blue. And then basically this tower right here, kind of the same thing, but it takes off the established in 1777 and then the Virginia piece. So like I said, nothing drastically different with that. I'll talk to you kind of at the end of all this about some cost and how this factors into it. Again, just a tan tower, St. Louvana County on it. And then just kind of a base white tower with Louvana County. One thing we also did, which we've kind of taken the Parks and Rec logo a little bit, and we cut off some of the Parks and Rec piece just as another type of logo that maybe the county would want to entertain on the tower. So basically, this is the Parks and Rec logo that they use, and underneath the Fluvanna, it would say Parks and Recreation, but this is just another idea. But this is kind of I see down at the bottom, this one's called Heavenly Blue, but there's different variations of a light blue color that can be used.
The figure, you're not going to be able to tell what it really is, can you?
What's that, Mr. Weaver?
The figure there, not the color, but the...
Let me pull this back. You talking about that?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, like I said, and this is just kind of a rough initial blush at looking at it too, and it's a little difficult to see up on the screen. And what I can do, I can send the board some, or I could even give you some printed ones if you want to see stuff. I mean, like I said, I'm looking on my laptop, and it's a little different. But if the board says, "Well, we like this," well, that may be something that you can, you know, enlarge it a little bit if you want something a little bit bigger, or the program that's provided to do this stuff, it is very kind of limited in some of the graphics and the logos that you can upload. So this is just kind of a base look at some of it. So again, this is just a tan tower, and then again, just the same white tower again with the Parks and Rec logo. And then also in the program, if you just wanted to do a base tower just with plain old letters on it, you could do that too. Now, we don't necessarily have to use this font. You can use about any font that you want, but in the program that's provided from this company, they have three just kind of real basic generic fonts. I guess the fonts that they use are probably pretty standard for types of font and the boldness, so you can see it. So again, just a blue tower with Fluvanna. Here you go. This one's for the Fluco fans out there.
Logo, good.
There you go.
Make sure it's navy blue.
Okay.
Look like Western.
And then again, just a tan Fluvanna County. And then just the white Fluvanna County. And then just one last one. This one might be a little difficult to do. This one's used on some of the economic development literature. There's a lot of kind of variations within that, so that would probably be a little more expensive to do. And it's kind of hard to see right here, but it just says Fluvanna County, Virginia right underneath it. And I just did this one just in white. I didn't do a lot of variations. So that's really all that I have at this point. I mean, I don't know if the board has any inkling that says, you know, we want to look at a white tower, we want a blue tower, we want a tan tower, or we don't care what the tower looks like, and we can do some giant staff survey and they can pick what color they want. So
I think it's nice when the tower that fits in with the sky, like the one that the...
I like the blue.
You like the blue?
Yeah, the one that is at the prison. On some days, I see the tower every day because I reach on Creek, you look out there, and there it is when you turn on to Payne's Mill. And I like that I can't see it on some days.
Sure. So this, I think from some staff, because I've talked to some staff in the office, in the admin building, and they either like this logo or the one that says established in 1777 or Virginia. So this would be kind of, you know, we can try and get the same type of blue that's either used on the Louisa Tower or the tower that's on the prison. Because like I said, there is 100 variations of all these like different nuanced blues and lighter blues. But this would kind of be one, and I think, as I said, this one's called Robin's Egg. But again, there's different variations. So
it looks to me like they jammed those letters pretty in close together.
That could have been the program.
Well, it is too. Like I said, Mr. Weaver is kind of like that a little bit, and you know, we can, and this is just kind of a first glance at it. So if there's something that the board says, well, we kind of like this, but we wanted, you know, the letters to be, you know, a little more spread out or something like that, we can you know, try and look at that a little bit.
Is it going to be on just the one side?
So our thought was just to have it on the one side. So one thing is, let me go to some what you might want to see. You want to hear some of the numbers on it, right?
Sure. I always want to hear those.
No, it's not true.
Okay, so one thing just to talk about. So the current tower contract and the Zions Crossroad budget does not have dollars in it for the logo options. There is money in there for the base color, basically painting the tank. When we talked to, in the most recent meeting, when we talked to the tower contractor, from their standpoint, it doesn't matter what color it is, whether it's white, whether it's blue, whether it's purple, whether it's fluorescent orange. It can be whatever color we want for the base color. But then when you kind of get into the logo, you know, they need to draw templates up to kind of be able to get that type of logo and graphics on the tower. When we met with the elevated storage tank contractor, they said the cost for a logo per side is nominally roughly in the range of $15,000 to $30,000 a side. Now, I don't know if that's for just kind of plain block letters, and we can get a little bit more of that, or if, you know, even some of the ones that we've shown you, like just the base Fluvanna County, it's got a couple colors in it, but it's not too, you know, you don't have lots of, like, airbrushing and graphics and variations of color. They're just standard colors. So I don't necessarily think that they would be anything outrageously more than that, but we can certainly find out about that. But so our thought was just to have it on one side. Louisa County's tower, it says Louisa County, Zions Crossroads, I think it says Business Park on it.
It says Business Park.
It's on one side, and it kind of faces towards 15. If you're driving, you know, going towards Walmart, you kind of see it from there. Our thinking is kind of the same thing. If you're driving 15 south, maybe having it at an angle kind of where the tower is from there. Because having it on the other sides of it, I mean, I guess you could have it on the other side if you're coming up 15 going north. But I think really you'd want to see it from people coming off the interstate, kind of coming towards the 250-15 intersection, showing them that, you know, this is Fluvanna County here. And as I said, more complicated logos may cost more money. So our thought was maybe just one side, but it's up to the board to kind of determine what they want and they have a color preference or whatever.
I like the one that had the part of, you know, sort of the dash in the center of Virginia. Obviously, we originally talked about sort of the heart of Central Virginia.
You want the one with the heart in it?
Well, I like that, but since that wasn't showing, I liked. The EDEP one. You know, that was showing the state of Virginia and us being in the heart. I thought that sort of states something without having all the lettering behind.
Yeah, and like I said, we've got the Fluvanna County underneath. Now, this one, too, and like I said, it's really... Let me see if I can zoom it in a little bit here.
There's one problem I have with that one. The yellow
fades.
Yeah. And like I said, this is tough on this program, really, to kind of see the lettering. But if we say this is something we want to go into, you know, we could definitely fine-tune, you know, is it the logo maybe a little bigger? Is it different lettering? Is the lettering maybe a little more bold? Like I said, with this one, though, in the actual graphic of it, you've got lots of kind of variation and shade.
It would be more expensive.
This one would probably be more expensive to do, but that's, you know, up to the board.
I don't think it's selling Fluvanna quite enough on that. You have the state of Virginia and a star in there, but is somebody going to recognize that as they look up at it? I think you need something more definitive.
Well, they wouldn't know if they didn't know where Fluvanna was.
Yeah, but...
The other thought would be to have the map of Fluvanna, or the flag of Fluvanna, which I think is an attractive flag.
You said like the flag or the seal?
Either one.
Well, look, I mean, because we kind of got the seal on the front of the things. And a little thing against that, we are trying to keep... But it's like it's up to the board. And looking at the seal on the front of that, that may be a little more complicated because you do have a lot more graphics to it. But when we think about the seal, we don't necessarily think about the seal as marketing Fluvanna, as more it's kind of our official letterhead, what goes on more official documents than marketing the county. But that's a board decision.
Everyone in attendance, we have a thing called My Two Cents. If you have an idea, either approach one of us when you leave or send it into My Two Cents. My thought was pictures scare me because I was sitting there just going, welcome to Fluvanna County, the one with the heart in it, the heart of Central Virginia.
I think that's just simple.
Is that
Mr. Rothmel needs to earn his money and come up with a great idea.
I think we should just flip a coin.
We're not making a decision tonight, I don't
think. Really all we're looking for, like I said, we've got really...
My only thought if we did two sides would be one facing the stoplight and then one kind of angle facing 250 coming east.
The other thing, too, is...
Not facing that way, but just facing the stop sign, so it'd almost be like this instead of directly opposite.
There's a crowdsourcing for logo making these days, which can be really quite good. And for $200, you can get like 60 submissions of different ideas and thoughts. And if you put that out there on the web, you'll get, with kind of, we like this, kind of things, you'll get a lot of different ideas from folks. And you'll get high quality graphic presentation.
That's a good idea.
From people. So it's something to think about. Is you give them the colors, the look, the feel, the concept, and let them go at it. You spend $200, you might be totally wowed by it. You may get nothing out of it. But that's, and then I also like the ideas. As Mr. Sheridan said, your two cents or even just a little poll. Once we have a couple of things, we can let a poll happen. This is the most visible sign that
no one is.
You know what would be a great idea? I will run this by him when I leave here tonight, if y'all will remind me. But our football coach also happens to be the art teacher at the high school. Why not turn his kids loose and say,
there was some talk about that, and the only thing whenever we and we say, like I said, we can certainly go that route. The only thing when you get into that is, we may certainly get some good things. It's just a matter of it's a timing issue and making sure that they can get it done. Yeah. Because after...
He would go from now on.
Well, after we had our original option, that kind of fell through. So we're trying to kind of get a little bit ahead here and just kind of use some things that we kind of currently use. But we can certainly go... and like I said, I've gone through this tank site and there's some pretty outrageous, paintings on the tanks. But, you're going to get into a lot more...
And I'll tell you, it was really nice.
You're going to get into higher dollars for doing it, too.
And seeing the parts of the tank on the ground.
Yeah,
As soon as we have the pipes, we'll have water. We just won't have water from a James. Yeah. We'll have water from a prison.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, it was nice to see the parts there. So you see it progressing.
Yeah, right now they have, it's about... That piece is being built as we speak right now on the site.
An app called Backyard Neighbors, someone wrote, what is that silo-looking thing going up across from the Crescent Inn?
Yeah.
Well, we do look one thought when I was sitting here listening to you is, how do we tie it in? Fluvanna, a place... with a rural past, looking forward to a business future. This is why we're building this. Just sitting here, just 1,000 miles.
Words are going to have to be limited somewhat.
Exactly. I mean,
and,
you know,
and kept large too.
The more we have on there, the less you're going to be able to.
Yeah.
See.
So, I mean, so we could either go through this crowdsourcing thing and just see what we get. I mean, if we say we want, you know, I guess from the board, let me ask you this. Is there a tank shade that the board is leaning towards? Because that may help, you know, what the colors of the logo are. Because obviously if you have a, you know, maybe a certain color, you know, tank, you can't have certain color lettering to it. So
yeah. I have to agree with Mrs. Eager that, you know, making it fall into the skyline is probably better, even though I love blue and gold, you know, but that might be a little too loud.
There's nobody that loves it more than I do, but I'm looking at that going, whoa.
But actually, that color is rather nice there and very neutral and not quite as green as the Louisa Tower. I mean, I think that there are a lot of nondescript towers out there. And this is just an easy piece of advertising that will be there for 10, 15, 20 years before it has to be repainted.
No, it is. It's
worth doing it right.
Well, yeah. And so, like I said, just the benefits of each kind of the colors. The blue, as the blue kind of fades, generally speaking, now Louisa's is maybe overdue for a paint job, but generally speaking, once the blue fades, you don't see a huge
difference.
A huge difference.
You don't notice it as much.
You don't notice as much. And then also, too, you know, it's supposed to kind of, you know, kind of blend into the skyline a little bit. Whereas when you get with the tan color, it's supposed to kind of hide some of the, you know, the dinge and dirt and stuff like that. And white is, you know, white, you're going to see dirt. And but, you know, but it's whatever you put on it, you're going to see it a lot better. So
yeah. I think we should go with light blue.
You can go light blue. And then as far as if we go through some type of crowdsourcing, or maybe if I reach out to the high school art department and see if they want to do something, just a basic logo, I mean, we could do something, or we could put something out.
That might be one of those things where they'd have a kid or two that he would say, okay, this is a project they can handle. Hey, I need this back within a week.
I mean, certainly that's a form of crowdsourcing as well, too. So we're going to crowdsource it, you know, with the kids that are back.
Yeah.
But crowdsource it the other way as well.
And so the one you say you have to pay about?
Oh, it's like you set a price limit, but basically,
okay,
you get a lot of graphic designers from overseas that participate in the program, and they submit their designs, and you just pick the one you like, and whoever you pick, they get the fee.
Okay.
I think, you know, I mean, I've done it a couple times. It's quite good.
Okay.
So if you don't pick theirs, you don't have to pay anything.
Not to pay anything, yeah.
Okay. Pretty good deal.
It's a good deal. Yeah.
Okay. Well, like I said, if that's the way the board wants us to go, we can say, look, we want some type of, you know, without calling, you know, this one's called Robin's Egg. There's Robin's Egg, or there was.
Yeah, you give that background and the other colors and the general concept, and you let them go at it. And then once you picked a design that you more or less like, you can then work with that designer to tweak it. So
okay.
You can say, I'd like to see more of this.
Yeah.
There were several different blues. Was there baby blue, heavenly blue?
Yeah, this Robin's. One was called Robin's Egg. I'll just pull up another one. I think this one was, let me see here. This one's called heavenly blue. It's a little kind of like bluish, blue grayish, a little, whereas the other one had a little more blue to it.
Mm-hmm.
But
you need something a little dark up there, don't you? You know what I'm trying to say?
You mean darker blue?
Well, a dark blue. Maybe, I don't know whether darker, but need a dark blue.
Let me see if I can get to the...
Are you talking about the writing or just the tank itself?
I'm talking about the writing.
The prison.
Yeah, he's talking about the writing here.
I'm talking about the writing.
He's talking about the writing.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just talking about the tank itself. Oops. Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with the, like I said, whatever writing you have, this program was very basic in what it can do. So we would have to tweak the logos. But whatever we do, we can give it to someone and they can blow it up more. I'm not too concerned about that. It's more of kind of how do you want to go forward with it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think that blue-gray is good. Yeah, the blue was good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the route we'll go. Like I said, we're not looking for any major decisions. We really have, probably by the second board meeting in October, we should kind of have a final decision made so we can get that to the tank contractor so they can go. And then what we can do is we have another progress meeting coming up in October too, and I can get an idea of, let's just say hypothetically we had a couple colors or something like that. Does that kind of still fall within the $15,000 to $30,000 range? And then also from the board standpoint, does the board want to do just one side, two sides, three sides, or what?
I think three is a waste because the third one's pointing back out there towards the woods.
One or two?
I think we need a really big, bright spotlight we can shine it towards somebody's house.
You could have a sign that says, Mike loves Christy.
There's no good way for me to go in this direction, so I just will be quiet.
Yeah.
And could we find out what colors on the prison?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we could. Yep, we can find that out.
Yeah, I mean, just a shade of blue. I mean, we're going to be...
Yeah, I think if you look at probably the prison tank and the Louisa tank, they are probably pretty similar, but we could find out. Actually, me and Calvin Hickman, we just actually toured the prison's water and sewer facility, so we were just there yesterday or the day before to see. And unfortunately, on this up here, you kind of get a weird glare on the screen. It looks a little more clear, but...
Well, you got the sun shining on it.
That's right.
I love how they had the sun shining on it, different angles.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we'll do that. We'll move forward with a light blue color. We'll move forward with some type of crowdsourcing, see what we can get submitted.
The link that I use, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's not hard.
Okay. And then we can go from there. Like I said, we'll come back at future board meetings, just kind of showing you kind of where we are, and then hopefully by the second meeting in October, we can kind of have this put to rest.
All right, thank you. Let's see. So we are now done with the board ballot. We'll now move forward with the consent agenda. E. Minutes of September 4th, 2019, Ms. Lease. F. Proclaiming October National Planning Month, Mr. Miles. G. HVAC Specialist Budget Transfer, FY20, Ms. Twisdale. H. HVAC Vehicle Budget Transfer, FY20, Ms. Twisdale. I. AP Report, August 2020, Ms. Twisdale. J. FY19 Sheriff's Department Insurance Claim, 2014-44, VIN Number 0004, Mr. Guyver. K. FY20 Facilities Department Insurance Claim, 2013 Dodge Journey, VIN Number 8576, Ms. McGyver. L. Planner, GIS Technician Position Description Update, Ms. Rice. M. EdTech Bylaws Approval, Mr. Rothmel. Anything that needs to be pulled?
Let's look at E. I just want to make a correction on E, and then we'll look at the accounts payable, which is I.
And I have a question. I have a question for G.
Okay. We'll start with Mr. Weaver, and we'll end up with you.
Work down, huh?
Yes, sir.
So where do you want me to go, Mr. Weaver?
The first one, E.
Yep.
I just wanted to move something into motion. In that motion, it says, I move the meeting minutes of the Cleveland County Board of Supervisors special meeting on Wednesday. It's not a special meeting. It's just a regular meeting, so you need to take, it should read, I move the meeting of Wednesday, September the 4th, 2019, be adopted. That's what I suggest the motion be, because it's not a special meeting, it's just a regular meeting. And if you look in the minutes, it refers to special meetings, regular meetings, rather. It's just a regular board meeting.
Huh? I don't
know. Well, there's a difference in special.
You better put meeting.
So So we're looking at number one here, the minutes that shows, I show regular meeting, and then down below here under the adoption of the agenda show regular meeting. I'm not sure where the special.
Well, no, in tab E, it says, in our packet here, it says, I move
the motion.
In the meeting minutes.
Yeah, look at the motion.
Oh, I see, right here, okay.
Yeah, it's right there.
Okay.
Yeah. And I suggest that.
Yep, you're correct, Mr. Weaver.
I suggest that the motion be, I move the minutes of the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors meeting on Wednesday, September the 4th. Leave the, certainly special out, and or leave the meeting special out, yes.
Yep, regular meeting.
Okay.
Yep, you're correct. That's a good pick up.
You can tell that Dave on newspaper.
Too much proofreading sometimes. I can't even read my own writing, though, so there you go.
And what was that?
Well, whereabouts are you, and, Trish?
G.
She's before me now.
Okay.
I had a question. Will this employee be able to do other maintenance jobs when a service other than servicing, when he's not servicing HVAC? I noticed in our AP report that we paid an outside electrician $482 to install two outlets, one for Public Works and one for the Fork Union Firehouse. I would think that a HVAC person could do something like that. If it's
we'll let Mr. Hickman talk okay. about that. I mean, like I said, primarily the positions for HVAC, but there are other
but
things.
There may be, I mean, there may be times of the year when he's not so busy.
So he'll be doing some minor plumbing, as also minor electrical.
Okay, good. That would save even more money.
Yes.
Yeah, like I said, when we showed you the savings component, that was just based upon just strictly HVAC, you know. As we brought it forward, we said there was going to be some minor electrical, some minor plumbing, and some other things that are in the position description that they will do. Like I said, the primary focus is HVAC, but right. in downtimes, they certainly can help out with some minor things like that as well, which will just further save the county money.
Good.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
Down, you're up.
Oh, it won't be too difficult.
Hey, she can handle it.
I know she can.
I'm all good.
We've seen her in action before.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Absolutely.
She's 449.
She's the cheapest ragtag guy in trucking
line. In the, with the bills.
Which, 449?
Uh-huh, 449. That's the number on the left.
Sod.
Yeah, I'm just curious about where that sod went to. It's $2,800, and I just thought that's pretty expensive.
Back in October, this bill was actually from October, and we just received it. They had not billed us. The historic courthouse had some work done, and the yard was completely redone and sodded. So this is a historic courthouse.
From last year?
From yep. October. It's this fiscal, well, yeah.
FY19. Yes, it was almost, we received a bill that was almost 10 months old.
That's correct.
Wow.
They just wanted the grass to grow first. that was the grass survived the summer. We're not paying you.
That was their warranty. So if their grass didn't work out well, then we weren't going to pay them.
Absolutely.
Well, it seemed to me that that's certainly mighty expensive. I guess if we look on 520, it's maintenance contract, service contract. I assume that this will be part of our future agreement with hiring an individual.
That will be going away.
That'll be disappearing. That's the point that I wanted to make.
Yep.
Okay.
What kind of service is that?
That's the HVAC.
Oh, okay.
The
CII. Great.
We're replacing
the HVAC. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I have on that. So I'll be ready to make a motion.
But I have a couple of questions.
Oh, you're coming back. Oh, I missed it.
All right, T, you hit that one on us.
Yeah, 130.
PMV stops?
Yes, what is that?
When people don't pay their personal property taxes, uh-huh. the treasurer puts a what's called a DMV stop on their plates. So if they go to renew their license plates, they can't get them renewed until they pay their personal property taxes. and the DMV charges us a fee for that.
Yeah, and so basically the DMV charges us $20. We end up charging the citizens $40. One, we recover our costs, and then plus for administrative cost also that the treasurer's office goes through to do that. So there, it is wiped out by revenue that we get from the DMV stops. And then once the individual pays the stop, then that clears their vehicles to be able to be registered again.
So the $4,650 is
it's probably. That's a lot of whatever it is divided by. Yes.
Okay.
They tend to put them on in groups.
Yeah.
You know, as taxes become delinquent, they don't do them one at a time. They kind of hold them in.
Yep.
I noticed that most of the long distance charges are very little, mm-hmm. sometimes less than $5. But on number 149, it's like $4,000. Is 2056 and 150 is 2063. Why is that? That's a lot of long distance calls.
That I believe is that the E9.
Andy, for we got something here for VITA. It shows long distance.
149 and 150.
It's about $2,000, or is that maybe just?
That's our entire phone bill.
That's our entire phone bill.
But then all the other departments, they get phone bills too.
Well, not departments. There's a sheriff's office gets their phone bill.
And then it's the
VITA. That's probably that's our internet.
Yeah.
Not our phone bill. That's our internet.
So what may happen here? Here's the thing. Whenever we have a bill and we have to put a description down. Mm-hmm. So say we pay a bill, but say we're paying it for long distance and a couple different components. What it does, it generally pulls one of the first descriptors on that bill. So even though this says long distance, it may not necessarily be for long distance. I don't believe that's long distance.
No, that's the internet.
That looks like our internet component, yeah.
Because yours is the highest of everybody's.
Well, yeah, no, he did. Yeah. IT doesn't have $2,000 in IT charges.
$4,000.
And long distance.
It does come out of my budget to pay for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because everybody has a little bit, but that was a lot.
What happens is when you key to VITA, the AP person will take the first bill, and let's say it's for long distance charges, and she keys the bill for $18.17.
Yeah.
And then the next bill she keys, and this goes on for the whole week. At the end of the week, anything that was keyed to VITA, it pulls that first entry she made and attaches that to every single VITA charge that shows up on the AP report. So while this is internet charges, and she entered it as internet charges because she'd already entered long distance charges on a previous VITA bill, that's all it picks up.
Okay.
You only have this many characters.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We tried to find a way to bypass the system and have it do individual lines, but it just doesn't allow it.
Oh, okay. We have a lot of charges throughout the whole thing for...
what number?
I'm looking at 599, landfill pickup service. Do we make a profit on the landfill?
No, on the landfill itself, no.
Yeah.
So remember, we don't have a landfill. The landfill's closed. We have a convenience center. Do we make a profit? No. What it costs to pay for the services and staff. And actually, that's a really good point that you bring up too, because I have to ask the board a question too. But no, we do not make a profit at the convenience center.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of charges for dumpsters and hauling and.
It's very expensive.
Be interesting to see the total of what we're spending on it all.
That went out for RFP, and we're currently working on the company.
So I'll tell you, so we did. We just did go out for RFP because our trash services have increased drastically. So we did a request for proposal. We received two proposals. In that, we said, you know, show us a proposal for just, you know, what we're doing now and just kind of give us some new costs, but then also give us an alternative option for what you may do. We've got one firm that wants to come out and meet with us because they have a different model that they want to show, and they want to run a transfer station at the county's complex.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be coming out
Thursday.
I think next Thursday.
Good.
To kind of present that. And I don't know if there's a board member that wants to be present during that as well to kind of hear the discussion, but
I'll do that.
You want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'll get you the information, because like I said, we're going to have the company come out to discuss what they want to do. And kind of some of the preliminary aspects of it. I think they want to, you know, as I said, they want to kind of operate a transfer station at our facility, and they'll kind of go into the more specifics of it.
Yeah.
I want to make a comment on that. I was on that committee 100 years ago, and it paid for itself back then, and I've noticed it creeps up, the expenses and all, and we've absorbed increases. So I think she has a very good point on that, and I'm really glad to see that you're reviewing that now. I think it needs to be reviewed.
Yeah, we make maybe the revenue we pull in on the convenience center between recycling and you know, for metal, and which is nominal, and then just the fees. I think we get maybe around 90.
It was 91.
$91,000, and then but we end up paying out probably $150,000 in expenses, right, for employees and contracts for, you know, hauling trash and fixing things, and so yeah, no, it's
so we're down about how much then?
Oh, we're down about, you know, 60,000.
60,000. Wow.
I noticed that Vanderlyn has raised their rates as well for everybody.
Yep.
That was like $8, yep, and now it's $30.
Yep.
It's $58 a ton now for us.
That sounds about right. I'm not 100% for sure, but yeah. So our current provider recently increased our fees. So that's why we went out for RFP, and we received two submittals.
And the minimum on the trucks is what, $8 or $10? $8. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Was our current contracting person one of the RFPs?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I just was, yep, wondering if they,
yep,
bothered,
yep,
to.
Yep, they submitted.
Imagine it's tricky about how higher your fees are to use a convenience center, more like a yard and a half of trash dump.
There's a fine line. Yep. There's a fine line between charging such a high fee that you're trying to, like, just break even really on this versus, you know, on lone country roads finding, you know,
sofas
and bags of trash sitting there. But like I said, we want to take a look at what this one firm's doing. So, well, like I said, I'll send you the invite for that so we
okay,
can kind of hear
you.
Their proposal.
That's all I had. Thank you.
I am ready for a motion.
I move that the accounts payable and payroll be ratified for August 2019 in the amount of $4,502,230.42, along with the items E through M.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Heard for the time. All right, unfinished business.
Got you in there.
Any unfinished
you
business?
Didn't hear him.
I'm bad. I know you're bad. New business?
Mr. Chair, I would like to ask Mr. Spitzer to make a presentation to the board on improvements that could be made to the soccer fields. As we know, we received a fair amount of criticism from the community in regards to the CAA. Public comment, you know, some opportunity for the public to be able to hear how the county is approaching that and what they're doing from that standpoint, and sort of a general improvement of what can be done to make the fields at Pleasant Grove better and more attractive. So if it's a will of the board, I'd like to see him do that.
We having problems over there?
There were a lot of complaints about, you know, the grass being too high, field not being moving. That we were essentially finding as Christine and Patterson, a competitor, to let them have better fields than we were doing when we had here. And, you know, certainly there were a lot of parents that, you know, have children in the soccer programs that were, you know, very upset by the optics of what we were doing here. And I can understand that they were upset. I do think that we did the right thing by approving the bond board, because we certainly weren't going to invest $50 million into our own fields. But nevertheless, there's some complaints in the community, and we should address those.
And I've gotten some of those, a few complaints as well.
And I'll add on with that. I think that entire complex, we talked about making fields available to the kids in the county. And I think that was one of the biggest complaints we got, because the FYSA is using the fields at Dine Crossroads, which are probably going to disappear. I don't think we have enough fields. How many do you have over there now, Mr. Speaker?
We have three.
We have three. And I think they...
Well, that would get used for the small kids, and it would be chopped. It's probably like three small fields in one field, and then another one split in half for the middle-aged groups, I think. So it's really one large field, from what I think is how they try to rearrange them out there.
Now, do we have any idea how many fields they were... they had at Science Crossroads they were using?
They used two or three there.
So, I mean, and these fields are, our fields are filled on Saturdays and Sundays.
They have three. They have one up top and two down low, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, how our fields at Pleasant Grove are used, they're pretty much book solid on the weekends, aren't they?
Until about 2 o'clock. And then from 6 to dark, they're used every day.
They stay away from the heat.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's after school. It's after school. You know, 6 o'clock, parents get off, and they practice till dark. And because there are no lighted fields for soccer, they can't practice after dark, which baseball and softball can. So that's a disadvantage that soccer has that baseball and softball has in the county right now.
But one advantage they have at Pleasant Grove is when I get over there and I'm chewing on dust on that baseball field, I look over there and watch the sprinkler heads cut on the soccer field. So, hey, so that's apples and oranges.
Well, and that's one conversation to have too, because obviously there's a bigger conversation, but you know, in order to have more amenities, you want to have paved roads there. I know the board and money's been sitting there for paved road at Pleasant Grove going back to the fields now for probably about 2 years, maybe longer than that. The board approved $98,000 and it's just been kind of sitting there. And, well, and $98,000 is not going to be nearly enough to do what's needed to pave that.
What we were trying to do, and then Mr. Stevens came back to us and said there was money available from the state, and we were trying to get some type of grant from the state to do all the roads.
We thought maybe we could get some type of matching grant with that. VDOT has not really come forward with a whole lot of options for that.
By golly, that might be a conversation next time we get that young man, Mr. Saunders, sitting up here in front of us.
We
need to
have
that conversation.
They're, like I said, and if you remember hearing their conversation last time they're here, they don't get enough funds to do the roads that they have, much less doing a new road. So after talking with Mr. Hickman about the road, you know, like I said, $98,000 there, but there's a lot that needs to be done. There's lots of drainage issues. There's culvert issues. You need to do that stuff before you even look at paving the road, because it's just going to wash the road out. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the roads. And honestly, to probably do it correctly and well would probably be $200,000-$300,000.
I was going to say, coming back to his point, you know, I got sidetracked. I can't believe that happened. But the baseball, the whole thing, we need more fields for our kids.
Yeah, sort of a long-term strategic plan, at least for Parks and Rec position, as to how they might proceed. You know, start laying out that plan. I know that we do that in the CIP budgets, but I don't think the board can update on that in some time.
You kind of want to show like the master plan of Pleasant
sort of
Grove,
yeah,
and kind of show
along
them.
Those lines.
We know pretty much the plan.
What's that?
It doesn't add soccer fields.
There was no room for soccer fields.
It
does
not add soccer
fields. Let me ask you this. Well, I don't. I'm sitting here to myself going, you probably could fit at least two more back in going back up towards the house. Across the top of that hill.
Where we have the rodeo?
Yep.
You possibly could.
Yep.
That's scheduled for a football field, I believe.
Well, football field, soccer field, that's the same thing.
You know? It's not very level, so it's going to take a lot of work to get that thing level. That's the other thing.
Yeah, but we bought one of those little things to push dirt around.
No, we want a mini excavator, not a giant bulldozer. So if the board wants to buy a bulldozer, we've got lots of work we could do with it.
I might have a cheaper one.
A cheaper bulldozer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. All right. But I do think that we need to, because I think I had that conversation with Mr. Dahl the other day in the office of, we need to figure out a way to find a way for the kids that want to participate to have more places to participate.
And like I told Mr. Sharon, I've had some
quick questions. If I got it, I'll give you everything I got in my wallet.
Oh.
All $18. All righty. So.
All right. So we'll set up a presentation just to kind of go over what the master plan is, what some of the future looks for Pleasant Grove Park looks like, and costs for it.
Yeah, and it might be good to reach out to the Youth Soccer Association and get some of their feedback as well. Specific. I mean, as you know, there were plenty of sort of complaints about this.
Mm-hmm. I get them.
You did an excellent job of explaining we weren't financing anything. We were just allowing them to use the money that's allotted towards us.
Yep.
All right. Now, open up the second round of public comment. Anyone wish to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the board at this time? Mr. Kelly, welcome aboard, sir. Please state your name and address.
James Kelly, 363 Manor Boulevard in Palmyra. I would just like to say with the water tower, you know, I know you guys are trying to move quickly on it, but if there's opportunities to engage the young people, to engage the students and the future artists and leave something, you know, behind as they go off to college and something to see when they come back. I mean, there are very few things that are semi-permanent that the students can influence. And I'm confident that there's some talent there. So if there's an opportunity for them to submit, I'd really like to see that. Thank you. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else? I will now close the second round of public comments, and I'll add one thing to that. Because while you were sitting there talking about that, a thought hit my mind. We have several that just finished with art degrees from VCU. And one of them works up at the apple orchard. And she would probably be really good at coming up with some brilliant idea. We'll need to get it known and say, hey, here's a date we have to have it by. Submit something.
We'll get the information out there. We'll get it communicated by social media means. We can let the schools know. We can blast through the crowdsourcing thing, and we'll get lots of options for you.
By golly, when I'm walking to closed session, I'll notify the school. All righty.
Mr. Chair, I move the Flannery County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A5, Section 2.2-3711A6, Section 2.2-3711A8, and Section 2.2-3711A19 of the Code of J1950 as amended for the purposes of discussing prospective industry investment funds, legal matters, and public safety.
Oh, second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, second by Mrs. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
The vote? Chair's vote's aye. We motion passes 4-0.
Almost didn't let you get in.
Well, I tell you what, y'all have to worry.
No, and if it's okay, we'll close over there.
Or finish.
Finish.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from the open meeting requirement under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Second.
Yeah, a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Seeger. Mr. O'Brien.
Aye.
Ms. Seeger.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So made.
Second. I mean, they were both all over that one.
Yeah, we're on
motion
that
made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We are adjourned. Thank you all so very much.